17 says this. It says, may the favor of the Lord our God rest on us. Establish the work. Everybody say work. Establish the work of our hands for us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. And this is something we all want, right? We all want to know that our work actually makes a difference. We all want to know that this actually means something. Establish, God, the work of our hands. We want what we do to count. I titled my message this morning, Monday Mornings. And the reason for this title is, this morning I want to help you make the connection between Sunday morning at church and Monday morning at work. There's a connection between your faith and your career or your job. There's a connection there. We are too quick as Christians sometimes to kind of isolate things, compartmentalize things in our lives. We've got our faith, we got family, we got, you know, our hobbies and leisure time, we've got our jobs, and we tend to put all those things in little boxes and keep them separated. But when Jesus comes into our life, he comes not only to forgive our sins, he comes to redeem every part of our lives. He comes to redeem our relationships. He comes to redeem how we view life, and he comes to redeem our work. In fact, so many times when we think of what actual ministry is, we always think of church. But remember this, that the word church, rightly understood, never speaks about a building or a church service. Church is always in the Bible, it's always people. It literally means called out ones. It's those that have been called out of the world into the kingdom of God. So technically speaking, you can't go to church. You are the church, right? And so we are the church, whether we're at church or at work. Our faith should impact everything about us. Now, here's what I'm not going to do this morning. I am not going to try to convince you to love your job. Fair enough? Because some of you are already, you're like, Pastor Tim, you're about to talk about my job. I don't like my job. I don't even know if I'm going to go to my job tomorrow. And here you're going to spend all Sunday morning talking about my job. Okay, I promise you, I'm not. Don't leave. All right? I'm not going to try to convince you to love your job. But here's what I do want to do. I want to invite you today to see your job through some different lenses. I'm going to encourage you today to think about your job, whether you like it or not, differently. And I'm going to invite you to see things through these lenses, and I'm going to give you three of them. I've got three one-word lenses that I'm going to invite you to start seeing your job through. And the first lens is this. It's the lens of value. Value. And what do I mean by this is I want you to think about the God value that every person has. The God value of every one of your customers, your coworkers, yes, your boss, your employees, if you're the boss, every person in your work has incredible value. This is so different now than the way the world thinks about value. When it comes to value, usually we're thinking about what value does this person bring to the company? What do they bring to the table for us? Are they a good employee? Are they good at what they do? Are they intelligent? Do they have great ideas? Are they a hard worker? Are they skilled? What value do they bring to us? Or sometimes it's not necessarily the formal value or the job skills. Sometimes it's just the value of do people like them? Are they in at work? And a lot of this can get mixed up kind of with office politics, because you have, for in most jobs, you have like formal job evaluations, But then you also have informal evaluations that take place, you know, at the water cooler, right? And in private little meetings and people talking to one another. And so often people are either considered in or they're out. And a lot of people, let's face it, a lot of people by the time they clock out at 5 o'clock or whenever you clock out, a lot of people by the time they're on their way home from work, they wonder if they have any value. They wonder if they, you know, who they are. And this is where we as Christians have this incredible opportunity to step into people's lives and let them know that they have value because they're valuable to God. Right? And I want to encourage you this morning, first of all, personally, if you don't already get this, find your core value in Jesus Christ. Right? I mean, do a good job at work, but don't find your value in what you do. Find your value in Jesus. Jesus. Remember that every person you work with is someone who is created in the image of God. Every person you work with is someone Jesus was thinking about when he died on the cross. And every person you work with is someone who the Holy Spirit is wooing to the heart of the Father. They are valuable because they are valuable to God. It totally kind of changes the way we look at the people we work for and remember are with, and remember that everybody you work with has a life outside work, right? They're not just an employee. They're someone's husband. They're someone's wife. They're someone's child. They're someone's father. They're someone's daughter. They're someone's brother or sister. This person has a whole life outside of work, and this life has value. So how we treat people and how we value people at work has this incredible ripple effect through their entire life. So value. Make a connection between worship on Sunday morning, where we're worshiping the Creator, and work at Monday morning, where you're working with the people that were created by God. Last December, just a couple of days before Christmas, I had this just incredible privilege of praying with a good friend of mine that I'd known for many years. I got to pray with him and his wife right in their living room 2 days before Christmas to receive Christ into their lives. And it was such an honor, such a privilege. I was so overjoyed. This is a couple that I'd been praying for a number of years. And the time was just right. And so they prayed to receive Christ. And man, all day long, you know, I was just walking on a cloud. I was so excited. But here's what I know. I know that I had the privilege of getting to pray with them to receive Christ, but a lot of things led up to that moment that had nothing to do with me. I mean, God was working in these people's lives. There were circumstances. There were people that they knew, Christians that they knew, that had an impact on them. And in particular, Linda, the wife, had mentioned to me the incredible testimony that Wayne Thompson, who attends church here at Bethel, attends the first service. Wayne and Linda worked together in the banking industry for many, many years. They worked in the same office. And Linda had mentioned to me the incredible testimony that Wayne had at work. So when I was preparing this message a couple of weeks ago, I just wrote to Linda and I said, hey, could you share with me specifically some of the things that you remember about Wayne? And so I want you to hear this from Linda's own words. As someone who wasn't a Christ follower and is now, but the impact that one of our church members had on her as she observed him at work. And what I want you to hear in this is the incredible value that Wayne placed on every person. Linda writes, in all times working with him, I never heard him say a bad word about anything or anybody. He always had a cheerful, was always cheerful to be around, and smiled and acknowledged people. He would greet you in the morning with good morning and thanks for coming to work today. Always a gentleman with his co-workers. He was always the first to offer help. He was very caring with all his clients and found it difficult in the bad years, 2006 to 2007, to pressure them to collect loan payments or give other negative news. He always had a big heart. And so what I want you to get out of that is, yeah, I had the privilege of praying with Randy and Linda, but there were a lot of people that were a part of their lives leading up to that. And what we do at work makes a difference. Whether you see it or not, whether you feel it or not, it's making a difference. So value. Think about in Acts chapter 16, Paul and Silas. This is a great Bible story. Paul and Silas get arrested for preaching the gospel. They get arrested. Not only do they get arrested, they get stripped and beaten for doing nothing but being Christ followers. Stripped and beaten. And then they get locked up in a dungeon, locked up in this jail cell. Shackled. I mean, they're chained to the wall in this jail cell. And then about midnight, they did what all of us, of course, would do. They just started to sing worship songs. And they just start worshiping the Lord. They start worshiping Jesus. And as they're worshiping the Lord, God sent an earthquake upon that prison. And the earthquake was so strong, it shook the very foundation of the prison. All of the prison doors open up. The locks all break. Even the shackles, the chains on them, break off. And then they're making their way out, right? They're walking out the door, but then they notice something. The jailer who had the job of guarding them was about to commit suicide. He's about to kill himself because he knows how bad it's going to be for him the next day when all of the people that he was in charge of guarding are gone. About to commit suicide. But before he can, Paul and Silas, instead of leaving, they stop. And they say, no, stop. Don't do it. Don't kill yourself. Don't take your own life. We're right here. We're not going to leave. Now, do you see the incredible value that Paul and Silas placed on this jailer? I mean, they don't know this guy. I mean, as far as we know, this is one of the people that beat them. Chained them up, locked them up. And now God is setting them free. Instead of leaving, they stop and they say, don't do it. Don't kill yourself. Why? Because they knew this guy had value to God. And so he says to them, he says, what shall I do to be saved? And then Paul and Silas say to him, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. But then they add this, you and your household. See, they didn't see this as just the guy that was the jailer that had them locked up. They saw him as a person, and they saw him as a father and a husband. They said, not only will you be saved, but God's going to save your whole family if you believe in Jesus. And so the guy did. He put his faith in Jesus, and he takes Paul and Silas to his home. He feeds them dinner. He cleans up their wounds, and Paul and Silas share the gospel with the whole family, and the whole family gets baptized. So instead of just doing what, you know, anybody would be tempted to do, just leaving, right? Like, I mean, God sent this earthquake. There's got to be a reason for it. He wants us to get out of here. Instead of doing that, they stop, and they see this guy that's about to take his own life. And they recognize, this guy's got value. We can't leave now. We got to tell him about Jesus. So they stop. And not only does this guy find Jesus, his whole family does. So I want you to think about how different that story would be if Paul and Silas wouldn't have valued that jailer. Man, the whole story he would have killed himself. Would have left children with no father, wife without a husband, unemployed. And as it is now, they all find Jesus. He keeps his job. And guess what? We're going to meet them all in heaven someday. Think about how differently that story could have ended had not Paul and Silas recognized the value of one person. So I want you to know the people that you work with, they have value to God. Have value to God. And you never know. I'm not trying to be over dramatic. You don't know what people are going through in your job, do you? You don't know what kind of pressures they're facing. Perhaps you work with someone that's thinking about taking their life. Nobody even knows, but they're so broken up inside. They're just thinking about ending it. They feel like they have no value at all. And we have this great opportunity as Christ followers who should recognize the incredible value that every person has to God, to love people with the love of Jesus and show them that whether they know God or not, we show them that they're valuable to God, that their life matters. Did you ever see your job that way? Puts a different light on Monday morning, doesn't it? We start valuing people. Now, a second lens, a second word I want to give you is the word engagement. 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 Because it's so easy in our jobs to disengage. We don't really want to be there. Weird decisions get made in every single job. Weird decisions get made. We don't agree with these decisions. Crazy stuff happens. People get promoted that shouldn't get promoted. And it's tempting to just pull the plug and disengage and take this attitude that says, well, I'm going to show up to work because I need the paycheck. I'm going to show up, but I'm going to no longer care about anything that happens here. I'm going to disengage. Anybody here ever been to a meeting that you didn't really want to go to? Right? Have you ever been to a meeting? Have you ever been to a meeting where someone shares an idea, and then right after that, someone else says, hey, I have an idea, and they say exactly what the person before them had just said. Has that ever happened to you? And at that point, you're just like, did you hear what the person before you just said? And you just feel like then checking out of the meeting, right? Like, this meeting is ridiculous. I don't want to be here. Is there any way I can watch the Seahawks on my phone without anybody noticing? And we just start biding our time. We go to work, but we disengage. A recent Gallup poll actually just showed that 70% of employees in the United States feel totally disengaged from their job. 70%. Of people are just, they've just unplugged, they just checked out. I'll show up to work because I need the paycheck, but I'm not going to be involved. Here's the problem, though, with us as Christians, when we do that, when we disengage, we totally lose our influence. We lose our impact, we lose our influence. When we pull the plug and we're there just for a paycheck, we don't have influence anymore in that place of work. So, what's the Bible say about this? Let's shed a little Bible light on this whole engagement thing. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 23. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart. Let's read this out loud together, beginning with a reference. Colossians 3, 23. Come on, everybody together. Whatever you do, come on, everybody together. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord. Whew. I hear God telling us here, don't just go to work for the paycheck. Work for me. Work as if you're working for me, because whether you realize it or not, you are. A disengaged person will never have influence. Now, I got to admit, with what I do as a pastor, it's a lot easier for me to make these connections than it might be for you. You might be going to work going, man, I just don't feel like I'm getting anywhere here. I don't think I'm having any impact. I have no influence in this place. I'm just going to get a paycheck. I got to admit, it's a little easier for me to see connections because I get feedback from people. Oh, Pastor Tim, you know, I'll get an email. Pastor Tim, your message really spoke to me. Or, you know, before and after church, people say, oh, your message last week just really encouraged me. Or I'll visit someone in the hospital and they appreciate it so much. And I get a lot of instant feedback that I realize in your job you probably don't get, right? And so I can't totally put myself in your shoes, but I want you to know this, whether you see it or not, whether you feel it or not, whether you know it or not, God's working behind the scenes through your life. He is. A friend of mine, a missionary by the name of John Easter, he uses this phrase. I think he coined this phrase because I've never heard it anywhere else. And I first heard him say this probably about a year ago, and I wrote it down on a piece of paper, and I keep it by my desk. It simply says this, two words, redemptive lift. Redemptive lift. And what that means is that when Jesus is at work redeeming us as his people, when we are being redeemed and then we're in different environments, the whole environment gets lifted up. So the presence of a church, a spirit-filled church in a village or a community or a town begins to have redemptive lift, and everything in the town starts being lifted up. So I want you to know, in your place of work, whether you see it, whether you feel it, just the fact that you're there and you're filled with the Spirit of Jesus and you're there at work, I want you to know there's redemptive lift that's taking place and you're making a difference. Stay engaged. Don't check out. Go to work with some new lenses. Yeah. And then one more word. The word integrity. Integrity. So important. The word integrity means the state of being whole and undivided. So for our purposes this morning, integrity means I'm the same person Monday morning as I am Sunday morning. And I'm the same person Friday afternoon as I am Monday morning. Because our coworkers, they need to see consistency in the lives of believers. They need to see us and how we handle things when things are great and when things are not so great. There needs to be integrity, consistency throughout our lives. Now, when I think of integrity in the workplace, I think about Daniel in the Old Testament. Now, Daniel had a high place in the government, and the way he got this high place in the government is God's favor was upon Daniel's life. He was a godly man, and God blessed him, and God gave him favor. But not only was it God giving him favor, Daniel got promoted because he was good at what he did. He was a good worker. He had integrity. People saw that. Now, back then, government officials were not elected. If you were a king, you know, you were a dictator. And you got to choose whoever you wanted to be in your cabinet. And so the king chose Daniel, even though Daniel was from a foreign land. He's in a foreign land. Daniel's Jewish, and here he is in Persia. And the king is so impressed by Daniel that even though he's Jewish, he elevates him in the government. So Daniel chapter 6 and verse 3 says, Daniel soon proved himself more capable than all the other administrators and high officers. Because of Daniel's great ability, the king made plans to place him over the entire empire. So God is giving Daniel this incredible platform to have influence, not just at work, but over an entire nation. Because he's faithful to God and God is blessing him. Well, as you can imagine, not everybody at work liked this. And so Daniel had a few enemies because they didn't like this man of God being promoted. And so they all get together and they have a meeting that the king is not invited to and Daniel's not invited to because they're plotting behind Daniel's back. And so Daniel chapter 6 and verse 4 says, then the other administrators and high officers began searching for some fault in the way Daniel was handling government affairs, but they couldn't find anything to criticize or condemn. Wow. He was faithful, always responsible, and completely trustworthy. So they concluded our only chance of finding grounds for accusing Daniel will be in connection with the rules of his religion. They knew Daniel was so faithful to God, they weren't going to get any dirt on him. They weren't going to find any. I mean, they went through everything. They went through all of his accounts. They questioned people. They're trying to find something wrong. I mean, they're checking his Facebook account, his Twitter account. They can't find anything wrong with anything Daniel is doing. So they say the only thing we're going to do, be able to do, is trap Daniel in something that has to do with his faith because Daniel was such a faithful man of God. Now, that's an amazing thing, an amazing thing. When I was a young Christian, I had someone ask me a question that made me think so much about how I live my life. And the question was this. They asked me, Tim, if you were ever arrested for being a Christian, if you're ever arrested for being a Christian, could they find enough evidence to convict you? It's always stuck with me. Is there enough evidence in your life that you're a Christ follower? There was in Daniel's life. And because of Daniel's influence, so many wonderful things happened and God was glorified. Integrity, integrity. Daniel was a man of integrity. Integrity, engagement, value, value. One of the things that I love paying attention to when I'm reading the Gospels is I love paying attention to how Jesus treated everybody. Jesus' interactions with people. And when you read that, I love it so much. When you read the Gospels, you see that Jesus treated everybody, no matter who they were, with value, with love and kindness and respect. He valued them, treated them with dignity. Whether they were a tax collector, a Roman soldier, a prostitute, a rabbi, or a fisherman, Jesus valued them. He valued those who had been social outcasts, the lepers, those who had some stigma, or people who lived a sinful lifestyle. Jesus valued them. He valued them. It's no wonder so many people were drawn, attracted to Jesus. Young, old, sinner, saint, religious, non-religious, Jewish, Gentile, Samaritan, none of it mattered to Jesus. He treated everyone with value and respect. And now, guys, today, Jesus asks us to follow his example and do the same thing. Do the same thing. See your job, see your work, see Monday morning through a whole new set of lenses. It's not just a paycheck. It's not just a job. You might think, Pastor Tim, I don't like my job. I want to get a different job. Fine, fine. Try to get a different job. God bless you. I hope you get a different job if that's what you want. But today, your job is your job. Now. And if God's got you there, he's got you there for a reason. Right? Let God use you right where he's planted you. For however long that might be. Now, we're going to close with a word of prayer. With everything I said, how many of you would just say this morning, I'm going to need some help doing that? Anybody here? All right, Tim, this sounds good at church. But how about Monday morning? How about Monday morning? I'm going to need a little help. Well, here's the good news. Here's the good news. When we're trying to live a God-honoring life, God promises he'll always help us. Amen? He's going to help you. He's going to help you value people. He's going to help you live a life of integrity. He's going to help you engage when you feel like disengaging. God will help you. So we're going to close with this great promise. I'm going to ask the worship team to come on up, if you would. We're going to close with this great promise. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 17 and 18. Watch this before we pray. Now the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. In other words, the Spirit of God fills our lives, so we start reflecting the glory of Jesus in our lives. This is what we need, amen? This is what we need. None of us can do anything I talked about this morning without God's help. We'll never do it in our own flesh. We'll never do it in our own willpower. We need Jesus working in our hearts and lives so that we can reflect his glory no matter where we're at. So would you bow your hearts with me this morning? Let's just seek the Lord together. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, God. Hallelujah. Father, we come before you this morning, God. We just lift up. We lift up our jobs, our careers to you. God, we pray, Lord, that you will help us to see our work through a different set of lenses, God. Help us to value the people we work with, the people we work for, the people that work for us, God, our customers. Help us to remember that they all have value because you created them, you died for them on a cross, and your Holy Spirit is wooing them to you, God. And Lord, help us to live our lives with integrity. God, that we would be the same person Monday morning at work as we are Sunday morning at worship, Lord. We would see that connection between our worship and our work, God. Thank you, Lord. And Father, help us to stay engaged, God. Help us to not check out. Help us to stay engaged, to be used by you, God. And Lord, we're going to need your help. So we ask, God, that you will fill us with your Holy Spirit, God. Change our hearts. Change our hearts. Help us to see life through a new set of lenses, God. Thank you, Jesus. Help us to remember, God, that whether we feel like it or not, we're making a difference. We're making a difference, God. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. God is good, amen? God is good. God is good. Praise the Lord. All right. Well, our ushers are going to come at this time. We're going to receive our tithes and offerings. And so if you want to go ahead and just prepare to give, come on, ushers, and we'll prepare to give to the Lord. And as we're giving this morning, as we're receiving the offering, our worship team is going to lead us in a song. All right? So, Father, we thank you for your word today. And God, we bring our tithes and our offerings now to your storehouse. God, we thank you for what you're doing here at Bethel Church. We thank you, God, for the lives that are being touched, God, the kids, the youth, God, all that you're doing. And God, we know, Lord, that it all happens, first of all, because your Spirit's at work, but also there's a financial investment, Lord. And so we just want to sow seed today into your kingdom as we give. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Would you stand to your feet as we're giving? And multitask, we're going to sing and give.